forgotten America now has a voice. America's Voice, Steve Gruber.
Well, we're going to get off the crazy train of swamp politics for a moment. And as a side note, it's hotter than a sweat lodge in the studio today for some reason. That's just an aside. It's supposed to be a bit of a warm day before winter sets in earnest, or fall, I suppose. So keep that in mind. We're going to take a different direction in the conversation for a few minutes. It seems that all sorts of folks want us to get railroads in this country. Of course, railroads lose money, and I think that railroads are terrific in some applications, but overall, folks saying that it'll help fix roads, it'll help fix infrastructure, it'll save lives. I'm a skeptic straight up from the beginning. Jacob Bruggeman here, a graduate student in economic history at the University of Cambridge and a contributor at Young Voices. Jacob, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. So give me an idea about the things I just laid out. People believe that trains can give roads a break so roads don't get used as much and fix roads. It can save infrastructure, and it can create less deaths on the roadways. Please explain.
Well, I guess we'll start with the first point. So the reason people say a more robust train network can help with, you know, our crumbling roads comes from two different aspects of our train infrastructure. You have passenger rail and freight rail. Now, as you mentioned, passenger rails are sort of not really a thing anymore. I mean, people in my generation don't use them. I took an Amtrak recently. It was in March of this past year from Cleveland to Chicago, and it took 12 hours. That's three times what it would take for me driving, of course. That's because, you know, different companies own sections of the private rail. So that's all to say, younger folks are sort of abandoning passenger rail.
I think they were abandoned a long time ago, but fair enough. And you're right. Well, why would anybody pay the kind of exorbitant fee you have to pay to take three times to go from Cleveland to Chicago? I agree with that. Go on, Jake.
Oh, absolutely. And for freight rail, I think there's a more compelling case. So one of the things that a more robust rail network promises is, you know, more companies using rail to ship their freight rather than trucks. And, you know, we all know what trucks are on the highways, a stress-inducing vehicle, right? I mean, there's nothing worse than getting caught in between, you know, if you're in the middle lane, a truck that's passing on the left and then a truck on the right. I mean, I think I speak for a chunk of people anyway when I say that freight trucks are quite a nuisance. But they also do a significant amount of damage to roads. And freight trains, on average, can carry three times as much or can save three times as much emissions as trucks. And one freight train can carry up to 100 times the amount of cargo as a truck can on average. So there's a very compelling case for trains on the freight angle. On the passenger angle, you know, whether or not people are going to go back to trains is probably less of an interesting question.
It's not going to work. It can't. I mean, let's be honest. Even in states like Michigan, rail, the population centers are not the way they used to be. I mean, everybody doesn't go into the city to work. Everybody's not there. It works on the eastern seaboard because you have a high density of people working in very crowded areas, and the trains work to some extent there. And, of course, subways work in some places. But you even look at the public buses and transportation where I live. Most of those buses run around, for the most part, empty all hours of the day. These buses running around, running these routes for no particular reason. We would be better off spending our money giving these people Uber tickets. I swear, if people wanted to go somewhere, here's your Uber ticket. We wouldn't be running buses all over the place, wasting tons of resources. But CSX is probably really happy to hear you talk about freight because there's a lot of truth to that. However, everything in this country moves on pallets. Those pallets move about three different ways, on ships throughout places like the Great Lakes, on trains like you described, but trucks aren't going anywhere. I don't see that because in order to get from the train station to the Walmart, if you will, it has to move by truck, does it not?
No, yeah, it absolutely does. And I think when people like me are arguing that a more robust rail network can ease cargo movement in the U.S., we're not saying that trucks should disappear. I mean, I'm one of these people that when I hear about Uber displacing, you know, the trucking industry, that actually makes me very concerned for our economy. So I want trucks to stay around. My point is that if we were to, if, you know, rail lines were to be consolidated in some way, to be more, you know, frequently kept up, you know, this accident a few weeks ago in Dupo, Illinois is just one of many accidents that results from these, you know, rails breaking because they're rusted out. So there's a real sense in which these rusted out rails are just as dangerous as the pothole ridden roads that we all know exist in the Midwest.
Well, sure, but that would be the responsibility of CSX or whatever company owned that rail line. I'm not picking on CSX, but whoever owns that rail line should certainly be involved with that. So let me ask you this, Jacob, because you talk about how people get a little bit anxious, if you will. It's an anxiety attack when the truck comes by, especially in the upper Midwest where I live, and it's snowing. And you're having near whiteout conditions, and the truck is here, and the truck is here, and then the truck starts to slide. That's very exciting, I'll tell you right there. But what about driverless trucks? Because that's what a lot of people want to bring to us. Not only these big trucks rolling down the highway, but nobody sitting behind the wheel. How's that make you feel?
Well, I think, like many people, it makes me feel a little apprehensive. If I feel apprehensive with a, you know, a truck being manned by a dude, you know, he wants to go home to his family, right? That, you know, at least he has incentives not to get into an accident, even though he might be very tired. I don't know what the driverless truck's incentives are. I don't know how it operates. And so I think that we are approaching this technological point where they're across industries, but we are reaching these points of apprehension. And driverless trucks are one of them. And that goes back to what I said, right? I mean, the trucks will be around, whether or not they're being driven by folks from the Midwest or by some sort of algorithm is beyond me. They will be there. They will be part of the equation. But, you know, we have all these people talking about green, you know, green new deals, green infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. Trains, like I said, are three times as efficient as trucks, and they can carry up to 100 times the cargo.
So and just another
angle for why we speak.
Just think, if you put propellers on top of the trains, they could make their own windmills and they could drive themselves. See? Uh-huh. And then the trains would go across Montana with little windmills on them. See, it would all work and there'd be zero emissions and we'd all live happily ever after and never eat meat again. You got it, Jacob. Go on.
Perhaps they could even lift off and, you know, get down on their destination like hover trains or something.
Exactly. But
the point is that, you know, we have a whole with this political faction concerned with environmental issues. I'm part of them in at least some sense. I'm concerned about climate change. And, you know, nobody's talking about infrastructure in the way that it actually matters. So, you know, I've been on the program before and we were talking about potholes, right? And
sure.
Our crumbling roads. It's an issue that nobody, you know, seems to be wanting to talk about, even though it's a bread and butter issue that matters to all Americans. Trains are a similar issue in the issue of environmental, you know, environmental awareness and whatnot, because like I said, they're an incredibly efficient aspect of our infrastructure and they could be made more efficient again if local governments, state governments, you know, preferable to the federal government, start investing in upkeeping them.
Well, I don't want the government's investing in them. And what I'd like the government to give a break to the rail companies so that they can put in the infrastructure and then do it themselves. Private dollars built the railways to begin with. Private dollars should continue to build the railways. We'll just have to disagree on that, Jacob. I don't think government needs to spend my money on railways. CSX and others can do that for themselves. Greatly appreciate the conversation. Yeah. However, it was a good one. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate
being on.
Jacob Bregman, graduate student, economic history, University of Cambridge. Good for him being here. Greatly appreciate that. Quick break on the Steve Gruber Show, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Paycheckology, the only outlet where the world is viewed through your paycheck's perspective. Paycheckology is a fun and friendly digital news source where you can get all the news you need in a fun, informative way focused on strong, independent people who believe in real work ethic and the American dream. Paycheckology believes in hard work, great jobs, our borders, and our American way of life. If you believe in America like we do, check out Paycheckology at paychecktalk.com. That's Paycheckology at paychecktalk.com.
For more than 65 years, Enbridge has been safely delivering the North American energy you rely on to fuel your vehicle, heat your home, and power commerce and manufacturing. We're proud to be a part of communities across Michigan and contribute millions in local property taxes each year, which helps support schools, emergency responders, and local government needs. At Enbridge, we're helping to fuel your quality of life. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Michigan. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
Elected officials in Michigan broke their promise for a transparent, balanced process when it came to reforming auto insurance. They passed a bill in the middle of the night which had no public hearings and no fiscal analysis. Worse yet, it created many new problems while failing to address the real issues. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close. And there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.